Hello there, everybody. It's Mike Arrigo, and welcome to Macintosh Podcast number 12. It's great to be with you again, and going to cover a lot of miscellaneous things in this podcast. We're going to kind of do an assortment of things, hopefully. Got a couple of news tidbits to share with you to start things out, and then we'll get into the main part of the show here. Here's what I kind of want to do in this one. First, like I said, we've got a couple of news tidbits that I think you might be interested in, and some of you may already know what I'm going to talk about there. But on this one, I want to show you some more third-party applications. In particular, another backup program, kind of similar to SuperDuper, if you've listened to my ninth podcast. That's a program that allows you to back up your whole system to an external hard drive, and you can actually then boot off of the external drive. So that's a great thing to be able to do, because then you can back up your whole system and restore it without sighted help. There's another program that allows you to do the same thing that's very accessible. It's called Carbon Copy Cloner, and it's a free application, although the author does request $10 if you like the program, and that's very reasonable, I think. So I'll show you how that works. And then we'll look at a couple of programs for Mac maintenance. Now, the Mac requires far less maintenance than Windows does. So a lot of the stuff in these programs, as far as deleting caches and that type of thing, which is the main thing that it does, is optional, though you may free up some disk space doing it. But the Mac generally is very maintenance-free as far as that goes. But these programs allow you to do other things also. You can do some hidden tweaks, kind of, that you can't do in the regular preferences. And I'll show you that. We're going to look at two different programs. They're both fully accessible with VoiceOver. One is called Cocktail, and that is about $14, I think. And the other one is called Onyx, and that's free. That's a free program. So we'll look at that. And then we'll look at a media player that's really cool. I don't think it's accessible on the Windows side of things. It's called the VLC player, but it works quite well actually on the Macintosh side of things. So we'll look at that briefly. We will look at a Bible program, which almost works perfectly. I'll kind of give you that little insight. It's almost perfect, but there's one major flaw with it, which I'll show you, and I'll show you how to get around it. The Mac does have some things you can try to get around, times when an application has a problem or some of the text isn't readable for some reason, and I'll show you that. And then the other thing I want to show you, for those of you that have Symbian phones, the Nokia Symbian phones, I will show you how to tether that to your Macintosh and use it as a modem. You actually don't need any software, any extra software to do that. The Mac has it built in. Certainly 10.6 does. So a lot of cool stuff to cover in this podcast. So hope everybody enjoys this. First off, a couple of news tidbits. Apple is up to 10.6.2. So the second update for Snow Leopard, and they do have a couple of voiceover improvements in this one. In particular, they fixed the issue on websites where when a page loaded, you'd end up sometimes on a random spot on the page, and you'd have to go back to the top and then start reading from there. Now it does put you at the top of the page, and you're good to go. So they fixed that, and a lot of other miscellaneous under-the-hood improvements for Snow Leopard. Also, Fusion. That's the program that allows you to run Windows in a virtual machine on your Mac, so you can run Windows alongside the Mac operating system. They have released version 3.0. It's a major upgrade. Some good points, a couple of bad points. If you want to know more about that, too, you can check out podcast number 5 that I did. That was back with Fusion 2, but the concept still applies. But with version 3, it does seem to be a bit faster. So that's a good thing. The one area where it's interesting as far as accessibility goes is sometimes you'll have trouble getting the keyboard focus to go to your virtual machine. In Fusion 2, there was an area that VoiceOver called the scroll area. It was a scroll area, basically. And when your focus was there, your keyboard input went to the virtual machine. Well, that's no longer there. So you kind of have to fuss with it a little bit sometimes to get the focus to, you know, so the keyboard, your keystrokes go to the virtual machine instead of the Macintosh. It was fixed somewhat in the Mac OS update 10.6.2. There was an issue with the Mac operating system that was causing part of the problem, but what you seem to have to do, and different people have had some different mixed results with this, but you seem to have to turn off VoiceOver once your virtual machine loads, and then you may also have to switch to full screen mode, and you do that by pressing Command Control Enter. That's what you may have to do there to get your keyboard focus to go to your Windows virtual machine. Is it worth the upgrade? I'd say, yeah, it is, because it is faster, especially with Windows 7 and those type of things. So I would say that, if you're wondering, well, should I do it? Yeah, go ahead and do it. You just may have to turn off, VoiceOver and switch to full screen mode in your virtual machine to get the keystrokes to go to Windows instead of the Mac. So it's something to be aware of, but... So that's what's going on there with Fusion. And anyway, I did want to let you know about those two tidbits about updates. So that having been said, one other thing I want to tell you. If you've listened to Podcast 9, you'll remember with the PZIZZ or PZIZZ application how I said you have to turn off the cursor tracking. That was in Leopard still, 10.5. Otherwise, VoiceOver will just say busy, 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 and you'll have to, close the program out. It works fine under Snow Leopard 10.6, so that's no longer an issue. You can leave the cursor tracking enabled, and the app works great. It's fully accessible. It's awesome. So that's a good thing also. All right. So let's go ahead and get started with the applications that I want to show you here. Let's go ahead and take a look at Carbon Copy Cloner. This is a great backup app. I actually find myself using this one a little more now than Super Duper even. They're both great programs. But certainly, the Carbon Copy Cloner, I don't know, the interface really grew on me, and I've just been using that for my backups now. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go ahead and plug in my external hard drive into the... one of the USB ports here. I'm actually not going to do a backup now because I just did one recently, but I will show you how this works. Go ahead and plug that in. Okay.
Selection replaced. Zero items selected.
And it says zero items selected too because I'm sitting on the desktop and it's recognized my drive. And the volume is now on the desktop. Okay, let's go ahead and open up Carbon Copy Cloner. And to get to that... I have it on my dock, so we can just go ahead and press Control F3, which is the Mac keyboard command to go to the dock, and press CA, and we should get to it.
Mac dock, Finder, running, Carbon Copy Cloner, 13 right. of 25.
There we go. Go ahead and press Enter here.
Carbon Finder, Desktop, Macintosh, Carbon Copy Cloner, Window, Carbon Copy Cloner. Select a source. Pop-up button has keyboard focus.
All right, so it's select a source. It's asking what drive do we want to back up. I'll go ahead and press spacebar on this. You can also use the control option space, of course, the VoiceOver command to activate the item you're on, but just using the Mac OS built-in keyboard navigation here. And press the spacebar.
Menu, five items, Macintosh HD.
Macintosh
the
help HD.
Tab is mount point, file system, HFS capacity, 119.69
Okay, and it gives you some
gigabytes
information.
Gigabytes used, 23.70 gigabytes available, 95.99 gigabytes Mac OS 10 version.
Okay. We'll press enter on that.
Closing menu, Macintosh HD pop-up button.
Okay, and now we'll just navigate, well, I'm using the numpad for a VoiceOver, so we'll do numpad 6.
Items to be copied, select a target, pop-up button.
There we go. And we'll select that.
Menu. Five items. Untitled.
Untitled is my hard drive.
Mount point. Volumes untitled file system. HFS capacity.
Okay, and I'll hit the control key to stop that speech there with all the extra verbiage about the drive. All right, so there we are. We selected Macintosh HD for the source and Untitled, which is the external hard drive, for the target. Now, we do have some other options here.
Save task.
Help. I'll go
button,
ahead and show
button,
you.
Image. Use CCC source disk. Use CCC to clone one disk to another. Selectively backup your files to a FireWire USB hard drive or remote Mac. Backup to a disk image or to create regularly scheduled backup tasks to have peace of mind. To learn more about how to use CCC, choose CCC Help from the Help menu.
Okay.
Source disk. Target disk. Macintosh HD. Pop-up button. Dimmed menu. Untitled. Pop-up items to be copied. Table. One row selected. Items to be copied. Macintosh HD. Dimmed checkbox.
Okay. And that's dimmed because of the next control.
Cloning options. Backup everything. Pop-up button.
Backup everything. You can choose to backup everything or... And that's usually where you'll want it. But I'll go ahead and show you what else is here.
Menu. Two items. Incremental backup of selected items.
Incremental backup of select items, you can select only certain things. I'm going to keep it on backup everything.
Closing menu. Backup everything. Delete items that don't exist on the source. Checkbox.
Okay, delete items that don't exist on the source. What this is if you have some items on your backup drive that are not on your source drive, you can choose whether to delete those or keep them. If you use your external drive exclusively for backing up your system, you probably want to have that checked, because that way it's identical. If you use your drive for other things besides your backup, then you would definitely want to uncheck that. Otherwise, anything that was not on your source drive would be deleted. So you can set that however you want.
This volume will be bootable. Edit text content selected.
This volume will be bootable, because it'll clone the entire
uncheck
drive.
This what is going to happen?
And it says, what is going to happen? It's some text we can read here.
Text, if CCC can proceed with a block-level copy, Untitled will be completely erased, then the entire contents of Macintosh HD will be copied onto Untitled. If the block-level copy cannot proceed, CCC will perform a file-level copy of everything on the source volume to the target volume. If the target volume already contains some of the content of the source volume, e.g. from a previous backup, that content will be efficiently updated.
Yeah. So what about, a block-level copy literally means to copy it block by block. Now, the only way it could do that is if neither the source or the target is, it could actually do it if the source was not your bootable drive, which it is, because it has to actually unmount it, I think, to do that. And, of course, you can't unmount your startup drive. So what it does is it just does a file-by-file copy and clones the drive. So,
click a lock to make changes. Button.
Click a lock to make changes. You have to put in your administrator password because it does copy everything and it accesses folders that are normally not available to users. So you would do that here, and then you would just click on clone, and it would clone the drive. So very nice, and it does make your external drive bootable. So again, once it's done, if you need to boot off of your external drive, you hold down the Option key while you start up the Mac, and that displays a list of all your bootable drives, and then you would press either the left or the right arrow key and press Enter, and then you would boot off of your external. And VoiceOver works, everything works just as if it's your internal, so if, God forbid, you had an actual internal hard drive crash, you'd be able to restore your whole system without sighted help. And SuperDuper allows you to do that too, the same thing. So both of these programs, fully accessible. They allow you to back up your system and restore it totally and completely without sighted help. And that's something, I don't know if Windows can actually claim that. Backing up, certainly you can do, but as far as being able to totally restore your whole Windows system with speech without sighted help, I don't think there's a way to do that in Windows. If there is, I certainly don't know about it. So that's a really great thing. Another plus for the Mac, for sure. All right, let's go ahead and quit out of this application. I wanted to show it to you, though. I don't know the actual website for it off the top of my head, Carbon Copy Cloner, but if you do a Google search for it, C-A-R-B-O-N, and then Copy Cloner, C-L-O-N-E-R, you'll find it. That's how I got it, and it was like the first search result, so you won't have any trouble finding that. All right, let's go ahead and do Command-Q here, and we'll go ahead and quit out of this application.
Finder, Desktop, Macintosh HD, Volume.
All right, let's take a look at a couple of these applications that allow you to do some Mac tweaks and Mac maintenance. The first program I want to show you for that is Cocktail, it's called. And if you want more info about that program, you can go to Maintain. It's maintain.se. So I think they're Swedish, actually, probably. And great program. Excellent, excellent program for sure. That's also in my doc. I put all my programs I use frequently down on the doc. So you don't have to go to the application folder each time. So again, let's do Control F3.
Carp doc. Carbon copy clone.
And let's do, I think if we type just CO, we should get to it.
Cocktail, 16 of 25.
There we go. Let's press enter.
Finder, desktop, Macintosh HD, volume, authentication, window, deny button.
Okay, it's asking for my admin password because, again, this program also accesses, you know, areas of the Mac that you need admin access to be able to do. Now, I've got my password, in this case, I saved it in my keychain. Keychain is kind of like where you can store passwords and that type of thing, so you don't have to type them each time. So all I have to do here is tell it to allow this program to access that.
Keyboard focus. Allow button.
Tab to that and press space on that.
Cocktail. Now in window. Cocktail. Toolbar.
All right, and here we are. So this toolbar is where all of the stuff takes place. It would take me too long to show you every single thing that this program does because there's so much stuff. It's unbelievable what you can do. But I will show you some of the really cool stuff. Let's just take a look at this window that we're on right now with the voiceover navigation keys.
Cocktail 4.6.1 Snow Leopard Edition. Application icon image. Copyright size 2009. Maintain. All rights reserved. Mike Arrigo. Single user license.
Okay, there we go. All right, so what we actually have to do here is that toolbar up there. That's where all the functions are located. So we'll just go ahead and zap to the top of the window again.
Toolbar.
And we'll interact with that toolbar.
Interact with toolbar. Six items. Disks button. Disks button.
All right, disks. This is the first option in here. I'll go ahead and select that.
Press disks button.
And let's stop interacting with
cocktail
the toolbar.
Cocktail busy.
Oh, it's thinking here, so for a second. Okay.
Cocktail ready.
Let's go ahead and stop interacting with the toolbar.
Stop interacting with toolbar. Journaling. Selected tab 1 of 4.
Okay. Journaling, what that is, the Macintosh operating system actually does what's called journaling on your drive, and that's for if you have a power failure or something like that. It doesn't have to rebuild the entire structure of the disk. Now, if that doesn't happen frequently, you may find that your Mac may run a little faster if you disable that. And that's what I've done, actually. The only drawback to that is if you do that and you do have to power it off without shutting down, the next reboot will be a bit longer. It can take, a few minutes, actually, because it does have to rebuild or it does have to examine the whole volume, actually, of your drive. Usually your files will still be there, but the reboot will definitely take longer. But your choices here, let's just take a look.
Permission, sleep, misc, tab, choose disk, Macintosh HD, pop-up button, progress indicator, journaling enabled, radio button minus 9 quintillion, two, journaling disabled, selected radio, 20%, level indicator.
That's how much of the drive is used, 20%.
Image. You are currently using 20% of available disk space on Macintosh HD, period. You are currently using 20%
of... Okay, so you notice it said journaling disabled selected radio button, because that's what I have it set to. So now each of these items, too, you notice there's several tabs there, like disks. There's four different tabs in that category. So this program is very, very powerful. It's great.
Toolbar.
Go ahead and take a look at the next tab here.
Journal. Permissions, tab 204.
Okay, we'll take a look
press
at this one.
Press, sleep, myth, choose disk, Macintosh, output, button, image, reset home directory permissions and ACLs. Uncheck checkbox. Uncheck checkbox, info, image, repair disk permissions or reset permissions and access control lists of the current or every user's home directories to their default settings. Repair disk permissions on Macintosh HD. Repair button.
Yeah, so that repairs the disk permissions, which sometimes is necessary if you find that programs aren't launching. It's rare that you have to do that, but one thing I'll tell you with Snow Leopard 10.6, that's a lot faster than 10.5 was. A whole lot faster to do that. So that's that option.
Tool, jerk permission, sleep, tab 3 of 4, press,
sleep, let's sleep. Take a look at that.
Settings for power adapter, pop-up button, put the hard disk S to sleep after, text, 100% slider, 1 min, 15 min, 30 min, 4, 1 HR, never, wait the computer when the lid is opened, dimmed, unchecked, wait the computer when power source is changed, dimmed, unchecked, wait the computer when power source is changed.
Yeah, so that's, well, for laptops too, but you can control what happens there with them, you know, with the hard drive putting it to sleep. And I don't have any of that enabled on mine. Usually if I'm going with the computer, I go ahead and shut it down.
Toolbar.
So,
MISC tab for press.
Let's just check the miscellaneous one out here.
Mount external disks without user login. Uncheck checkbox. Disable sudden motion sensor. Dimmed, uncheck checkbox. Disable sudden motion sensor. Dimmed, uncheck checkbox.
Options. So that's in the disk category. Let me see what else we've got on the toolbar here that
toolbar.
I can show you. That's
interact with toolbar system button.
Okay, system. Let's take a look at that one. Actually, I'll show you what's in this toolbar here so I can kind of decide which ones I want to cover, because, again, there's so much in this program that you could almost make a whole podcast itself with what this program can do. It's awesome and well worth the $14. So system, we'll take a look at that one for sure.
Files button.
Files, we might briefly look at that.
Network button.
Network, we'll probably skip that one. That one allows you to tweak your network settings, like your MTU and stuff like that, though I found on the Mac you really don't have to do that. So we'll probably skip that one, but it's available if you want to use that, certainly.
Interface button.
Interface, that's a good one. That one allows you to do some interesting tweaks.
Pilot button.
Pilot is where it will automatically do a lot of things for you. It will clear out your caches. It will repair the disk permissions, and it will run, the Macintosh actually has built-in scripts that run daily, weekly, and monthly, and this will run those actually, you know, manually for you, and also clear out all your log files. So that's a nice thing to run all in one sweep. So let's go back to system. That's a good one to look
system,
at.
System, press, system, button, stop in, scripts, selected tab 1 of 6.
Okay, scripts. That allows you to run those daily and weekly and monthly scripts, you know, manually. And that's the only thing it'll do in this case. So that's what that does. I'll just go through these categories, and then we'll read the options if it's something that may not be obvious.
Spotlight tab 206.
Spotlight. That is very similar to what's on Windows, you know, the indexing your files and that type of thing. You can disable that if you don't use it, and your Mac may run a little bit faster. I've actually disabled that on mine because I know where I put everything. So I don't really need to do that. But if you want that feature, and it is something you want to use, you can control that.
Time Machine tab 3 of 6.
Time Machine. That's the backup system that's built into the Mac. It doesn't make your drive bootable. But there are some options you can control with it, and I'll show you what they are, actually.
Press on that. Time Database. Stop MISC. Enable unsupported network volumes. Uncheck checkbox. Defaults button. Disable backup of system files. Uncheck checkbox. Do not backup when disks are mounted. Check checkbox. Do not ask to use newly connected disks. Uncheck checkbox. Backup every 60. Combo box content selected. Minute S. Minute S.
Okay, so that's some Time Machine tweaks you can do. That one, it'll back up your whole system, and it actually, you know, keeps several backups so you can go back in time to a certain, you know, place, you know, and restore files. Or you can do a full system restore, though, again, it's not bootable, but it is accessible. What you have to do is boot off of your original, well, in this case, the 10.6 DVD, and then you can enable VoiceOver and go to the Utilities menu and restore a Time Machine backup that way from your external drive. So it is accessible. You just can't boot off of, you can't boot your computer off of a Time Machine backup. You've got to use the system DVD to do that. All right,
toolbar.
Let's see what else we've got in
Spot
this area.
Time Machine Databases tab
406. Databases, let's see what's in there.
Press that one, Databases tab 406.
That one's not necessarily obvious.
Rebuild Launch Services Database. Rebuild button. Restore default file associations. Uncheck checkbox. Info image. If enabled during the rebuild of the Launch Services Database, the Restore Default File Associations option will cause all associations that have been created between specific file types and applications to be reset to default values. Update. Locate pop-up button. Database. Update button. Update button. Update
so
button.
So that's that. You can rebuild the launch database. All right.
Tool.
Let's see what else we've got.
Top
tip,
star
I've never had to do that either. I've never had to actually do that to rebuild the database.
Date startup tab 506.
Okay, startup. Let's see what's in there.
Press startup misc. Startup mode. Standard pop-up button.
That's usually what you would want.
Startup delay. 0. Combo box content selected. Second S.
Okay, that's
S.
all that's in here. I'll show you what else is in here for
standard pop-up
startup
mode. Menu. 3 items. Verbose. Safe. Checkmark. Standard.
Yeah, safe mode where it doesn't load
standard,
a lot of
pop-up button.
It only loads the necessary things. I don't think you have sound then, so you wouldn't have speech. And I think verbose, I'm pretty sure that actually takes you right into the terminal. You know, like the Unix shell, I think. So usually you want to leave that on standard, probably.
Tool scripts tab one.
Okay.
Startup misc tab
got
six.
One more tab here. Let's
misc
in the miscellaneous.
Six, choose disk. Macintosh 8.4 empty the trash on. Macintosh HD. Empty button. Enable kiosk mode. Unchecked info image. Kiosk mode disables the restart, shutdown, and logout commands in the Apple menu. To properly restart or shut down the computer, when the kiosk mode is activated, run the shutdown command in the terminal application.
Yeah.
Kiosk mode disables the restart,
okay.
Shutdown.
So that's that. All right, the other tab I want to show you here is the interface. That's got a lot of interesting things to it that you can look at.
Toolbar. Interface button.
Let's go ahead and select that on the toolbar.
Press interface
okay.
button.
And we'll stop interacting with the toolbar.
Stop interact. General. Selected tab 1 of 8. Finder tab. Dock tab. Safari tab. Mail tab. QuickTime. Login tab. Misc tab. Enable. Open recent menu item in applications. Uncheck checkbox. Defaults button. Number of recent items. 10. Combo box. Place scroll arrows. At top and bottom. Pop-up button. Display of sheets. Normal pop-up button. When applications crash, display the unexpectedly quit dialog box. Selected radio button 1 of 3. Display crash report. Radio button. Do not display anything. Radio button 3 of 3. Use expanded print and save dialogs by default. Check box.
That's a go into check because it shows you the most options in your print and save dialog boxes. Normally there's what VoiceOver calls a disclosure triangle in there. And you have to expand that to see all the options, and what this does is it sets it to always be that way, so that's a good thing to check.
Screenshot file format, PNG pop-up button.
That's when you do screenshots, what format it creates.
Save location, user's Microego desktop. Choose button.
Okay,
button.
So that's that one. Okay, so let's look at some of these other tabs here, a couple of them.
Toolbar, General, Finder, tab 2 of 8.
Let's take a look at the Finder one. That's got some interesting things in it.
Press Finder, tab 2, make login, misc, tab 8 of 8. Show invisible items, uncheck checkbox.
Show invisible items, what that is, okay, the Mac does not have a registry or anything like that like Windows does. So it uses files to keep track of everything. And what it does is it creates, like when you choose how to view a folder, like by list or that type of thing, it keeps track of that with files, and normally they start with a period, and the system normally does not show you those. But if you check this option, it will. I tried that, and it definitely makes things a lot more cluttered because you see all these files that begin with a period and that type of thing, so usually you won't need to do that, but it's available if you want it.
Defaults button. Hide the desktop. Uncheck checkbox. Disable window zooming. Uncheck checkbox. Disable rectangle effect when opening files. Check box.
I went ahead and checked that because I figured it's a visual effect that probably doesn't do the blind user any good, and those resources could probably be better used elsewhere.
Disable animation when selecting categories in the info window. Check box.
Yeah, that, again, a visual thing. No reason to keep it, really. So you can check that to disable it.
Configure menu items. Configure button. Relaunch Finder in order for changes to take effect. Relaunch button. Relaunch button.
Okay. So that's that.
Toolbar.
Finder tweaks you can do.
General. Dock. Tab 3 of 8.
Dock. There's not a whole lot interesting there. We'll go ahead and skip that one.
Safari. Tab 4 of 8.
Safari's got some interesting ones. That's the web browser, of course.
Press. Misc. Tab. Show debug menu. Uncheck checkbox. Defaults. Button. Show URLs of links in the tooltips. Uncheck checkbox. Always show tab bar. Uncheck checkbox. Open new window links in new tab. Uncheck check. Disable support for page icons. Uncheck checkbox. Disable PDF support, checkbox.
I disabled that because what I prefer to do is have it download the PDF file and save it, and then I can open it in a preview and read the PDF file. So I did disable that, but that's up to you. It's a personal preference.
Disable for modification. Warning on close. Uncheck checkbox. Disable web page previews. Uncheck checkbox. History limits. Number of days. 365,000. Combo box content select. Number of menu items. 15. Combo. 15. Combo box content selected.
So that's the tweaks you can do with Safari.
Toolbar.
And let's take a look at the mail one.
Safari. Mail. Press. Mail. Tab. QuickTime X. Login. Tab. Set. MISC. Tab. Do not display attachments in message. Uncheck checkbox. Defaults. Button. View all messages in plain text. Uncheck checkbox.
And if you want to disable the HTML of messages, you can check that. Although, if you do that, you'll lose the ability probably to open links and that type of thing from an email message. But it's up to you.
Prevent name to be included when copying email address. Uncheck checkbox. Console logging. Address completion times. Uncheck checkbox. Message deletion times. Uncheck check. Attachment purging activity. Uncheck check. Message load times. Uncheck delivery times. Uncheck pop fetch times. Uncheck checkbox.
These are different things you can have logged.
Header junk mail activity. Uncheck router activity. Uncheck checkbox. Indexing times. Uncheck routing times. Uncheck IMAP fetch times. Uncheck socket times. Uncheck checkbox.
A lot of technical stuff in here you can have logged.
Junk mail activity. Untransferred operation times. Untransferred operation times.
Okay.
Uncheck
checkbox. Let's take a look at the miscellaneous.
Toolbar. General. Mail. Select QuickTime X. Tab. Login. Tabs. MISC. Tab.
You can look at these other ones if you're interested, but let's take a look at the miscellaneous
press,
one.
MISC. Tab. Ava. Show debug menu in address book. Uncheck defaults button. Show debug menu in backup. Dimmed unchecked. Show debug menu in disk utility. Uncheck checkbox. Show debug menu in iCal. Uncheck check. Show debug menu in remote
the
desktop.
Debug menu.
Dimmed unchecked checkbox.
I guess that's for, it gives you some technical, you know, other options that normally aren't there. I've never really seen what was in the debug menu. I'm going to have to check that out.
Disable genre column in iTunes browser. Uncheck checkbox. Disable iTunes store arrow links in iTunes. Uncheck checkbox. Point iTunes store arrow links to local iTunes library. Uncheck checkbox. Point iTunes store arrow links to local iTunes library. Point
okay,
iTunes store
so
arrow links
to... that's
the
last option there. Okay, let me show you the pilot tab. That's the automation tab. And that's where you can have it, you know, do all of your Mac maintenance really in one sweep. It'll do it all for you all at once. So we'll go ahead and take a look at that, and that'll be the last thing we'll probably look at in this application.
Toolbar. Interface. Pilot. Press. Pilot. Button.
And here's the
stop
options.
Tasks. Selected tab 1 of 2. Scheduler. Tab 2
of 2. So
you've
got tasks, which is where you can determine what it does, and then scheduler, you can control, you can set this to automatically run at a certain time, and that type of thing.
Manual maintenance was last performed on Tuesday, November 10th, 2009 at 11 hours, 34 minutes, 49 seconds p.m.
Okay, so we'll see what the options we have here.
Select maintenance task, S. Image. Run selected script, S.
Run selected scripts, that's the daily, the weekly, and the monthly scripts that I was talking about that are built into the Mac.
Daily, checkbox. Weekly, checkbox. Monthly, checkbox.
And all three are checked, and that's where I will leave it.
Image. Clear selected caches.
Okay, this is what caches do you want to clear.
Image. System. Checkbox. User.
Okay, system, and then that's checked, and then user.
User. Uncheck checkbox. Checkbox.
Now, there's two checkboxes here. The first one is only the current user, and the second checkbox in each of these is clear it for all users, and I've got it set for all users. Of course, I'm the only user on this Mac, so it probably doesn't make much difference, but just to be safe, go ahead and have it set for clear all of it.
Internet.
That's to clear the internet cache.
Uncheck
checkbox. And I have the second checkbox checked, which means all users.
Options button. The help
tab. There are options in there.
Show advanced cache clearing options.
You can have it. You can choose literally like which caches to clear, like only the history or that type of thing. I have them all checked in the advanced area.
Image. Repair disk permissions on Macintosh HD. Checkbox.
That's to repair the permissions. We saw that earlier, that feature.
Image. Clear log files. Checkbox.
Clear the log files. Those are, you know, system logs and that type of thing, and I have that checked as well.
Options. Button. The help tab is... Show advanced log clearing options.
And again, you can set advanced options for that. I've got it set to do all of them.
Play completion sound. Uncheck checkbox.
I don't have that checked.
Basso, pop up, but automatically when done.
Automatically when done, and that's checked, because what I usually have it do is, after it's done, go ahead and exit the application. And that's what I'll do this time. So, go ahead and...
Quit. Pop-up button.
And it's quit, and that's what's selected there. You can choose to shut down the Mac, too, I think. Let's see what options we have.
Menu. Five items. Check mark. Log out. Sleep. Restart. Shut down. Check mark. Quit.
And closing quit menu. So that's what I'm going to do.
Run selected task. S. Run button.
And there's the run button. Let's go ahead and do that, and I'll show you how long this takes.
Press run button.
Okay. And you won't really get a whole lot of... speech while it does this. I think if you try to navigate it, it'll probably tell you it's busy. Let's see.
Pilot. Dim zoom button. Minimize but close button. Searching Macintosh HD.
Oh.
Inf percent progress indicator.
Oh, nice. We can get some speech in here. Okay.
42 inf percent. Cocktail busy. 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 Busy.
Okay. I'm going to hit the control key to stop that. It's grinding away here. It runs... checks the disk permission, repairs that, runs the scripts, the daily, weekly, and monthly scripts, and then goes and clears out all the caches and the logs, and generally takes about a minute or two to do this. And really, this is about the only maintenance you'll have to do. And even then, you don't have to really do it that much. You might free up some disk space, but it's not, the Mac isn't dependent on you doing this. If you don't do it, it's not going to stop working or something like that. It doesn't. But there's no registry to clean or anything like that. There are there is a defrag program that I have. It's called iDefrag. And I don't regret getting it, but honestly, I haven't noticed any speed up with it, even after I defragged it. So probably not an essential thing to have, but if it's something you want, you could get it, I guess. The Mac is just
9%.
Much better.
9%.
Okay, it's still going here. Let's see what it's doing.
Cocktail busy.
And,
busy.
Okay, it's busy. It's not going to...
Busy. 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 Pilot cocktail ready. Toolbar. Busy progress. Clearing internet caches.
Clearing internet caches. Okay, so it's... If I leave my VoiceOver cursor sitting there, it should continue to read it. That's the cool thing about VoiceOver. It, if you want to hear something, you know, you can put your cursor on it, but if you don't want to hear all the automatic stuff, just move your cursor away from the item that's changing. It doesn't assume you want or don't want something. It leaves that up to the user, which I like. And it's grinding away.
Cocktail
here.
Busy. Busy.
It says it's busy again. This should be done in just a minute.
Cocktail busy. Busy. Busy.
Okay. So that's that. Once this is done, we'll go ahead and take a look at Onyx, which is very similar, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it because it does very similar features, but I'll show you it and the interface just so you kind of get an idea of, you know, a good variety of applications here.
Cocktail busy. Busy.
Okay. It's
busy.
Still
busy.
Grinding away.
Busy.
Doing its thing.
Busy. Busy. Busy.
So it'll should be just about done here in just a few minutes. Okay.
Cocktail busy.
Yeah, it's still busy. Tell you what,
busy.
I will go ahead and pause
busy.
This while this completes, and then we'll pick it up once it's done. All right, we are back on the recording here, and it is completed about a minute and a half passed by since I paused this, and it completed, cleared out the cache, the log files, and then it exited the program. So we're back on the desktop here. I'm going to go ahead. I guess it doesn't matter much, but I'm going to go ahead and eject my external hard drive. Usually on a Mac, you don't just want to unplug a drive. You want to go ahead and eject it. And the way you do that is you just highlight it on the desktop.
Macintosh HD, untitled, selected volume.
Like that, and then we just do Command-D for eject.
Eject, untitled, was removed from selection, zero item selected.
And once it does that, and it disappears from the desktop, you can go ahead and then it's safe to unplug it. It's good to do that with any flash drive or any external drive. Go ahead and eject it. That's kind of like, I guess, the safely remove hardware thing in Windows. It just makes sure that any cached data is written, you know, to the drive, and that way you don't have any corrupt data. OK, Okay, let's take a brief look at Onyx, which is another program for Mac maintenance. And that one, this one is free. Again, I don't remember the website on this one. But again, if you Google search it, just do Onyx. It's O-N-Y-X, Macintosh. You're bound to find it fairly quickly. So, okay, let's go down to the dock again.
Dock, cocktail, Onyx, 18 of 25.
There you go. Press enter.
Finder, desktop, Macintosh HD, volume, Onyx. Now in window, Onyx, button. Onyx requires that you type your password. Password, closing dialog. Help, button, cancel, okay.
Okay, and again, it wants to know if it can access my password. I will tell it okay.
Button, closing dialog.
All right. Now, again, we have a toolbar here of different tasks. I'll just show you what's here.
Toolbar. Interact with toolbar. 9 items. Onyx. Selected button. Verify button.
Verify.
The help tag is execute verifying.
Okay. And each of these has a help tag or like a tooltip, and VoiceOver can retrieve that, so I'll let these buttons kind of explain themselves.
Maintenance button. The help tag is execute system maintenance. Cleaning button. The help tab is execute cleaning.
Yeah, maintenance is like running the scripts. Cleaning is clearing the caches. Again, very similar to what Cocktail does.
Utilities button. The help tab is execute MISC operations.
Let's take a look at that. See what
press
that's got in it.
Utilities. Stop int. Manuals. Selected tab 1 of 4. Trash tab. Find tab. Process tab. This option allows you to format and display the Unix manual pages. Select the desired command from the list on the left or enter the command name in the search field and click the Show button. Last update of the database. Monday, November 16th, 2009, 7 hours, 56 minutes, 16 seconds, p.m. Rebuild button. Commands table. No selection.
Okay.
Text. Man 1. Name. Man. Format and display the online manual pages. Synopsis. Man. DFFHKKTWW path m system.
That's Unix, the Unix manuals.
Help button.
Okay.
Tool manual trash tab to a press trash.
Let's
tab.
See what this one is.
This option empties the trash of its contents for all accounts on all connected volumes. Option. Delete. Selected radio button 1 of 2. Secure delete radio button image. As a precaution, verify the contents of the trash before emptying it. The securely delete option destroys the items by overwriting every byte 3 times, with 0xff, then 0x00 and then 0xff again. Text, new line.
Okay.
Help button.
So that's, you can empty the trash on all your volumes.
Tool connect, find tab 3 of press.
Here's find, the find option.
This option allows you to quickly find a file or a folder by searching the index of the locate database, which stores all names of all items on all mounted hard disks. Creating and rebuilding the locate database can take a long time. Please wait. Database size. Hyphen. Create button. Last update. Hyphen. Rebuild. Dimp text. Space.
Okay.
Help button.
And then we have
caps lock. Tool caps lock off.
Oh, sorry about that. Bumped my caps lock key. Okay.
Tool manuals. Tab process. Tab 404. Press process. This command is disabled by default. It allows to save the process accounting of all accounts into a file. Warning. This file can get very large.
Yeah, I don't think we'll do anything with that. Okay, let's take a look and see what else is on this toolbar, really, really quick.
Toolbar, interact, verify, main, clean, utility, automation, button. The help tab is execute system maintenance and cleaning.
Yeah, that's kind of like the pilot option in Cocktail. It does everything. It does, you know, all the stuff in one in one sweep. And I'll show you what's here.
Press auto stop at maintenance. Repair permissions. Checkbox. Execute maintenance scripts. Checkbox. Rebuilding. Launch services. Uncheck. Display of folders content. Uncheck. Dilt share cache. Checkbox. Spotlight index. Uncheck. Mails envelope index. Checkbox. Cleaning. System cache. Checkbox. User cache. Checkbox. The audio unit's cache is retained. Fonts cache, checkbox. Logs including crash reporter, checkbox. The Onyx and system software update logs are retained. Temporary items, checkbox. Recent items and web browser history, checkbox. Image. Some operations take a long time. Repair permissions, execute maintenance scripts, rebuild display of folders content, please wait. Help button, execute button.
And there's the execute button, which we could select if we wanted to do that. I'm not going to do that here because I just did it with a cocktail, but it does something very similar. So there you go. You have two programs for keeping your Mac in top shape and keeping your disk your disks free of clutter. So that's a good thing. All right, let's go ahead and command Q out of here.
Finder, desktop, Macintosh HD, volume.
All right, let me show you a program here called a VLC player. This is a nice little app. This one, actually, you can play streaming media. It plays just about every format. It'll even play DVDs and CDs and that type of thing. But I'll just go into it and open up an MP3 file so you can kind of see how it works. I don't know if I have that on my dock or not. Let me see if I do.
On dock. VMware Fusion 12.
No, I don't. Okay. So I'll have to open up the applications folder for this one. So we'll just do a Command-Shift-A here.
Applications. Now list view. Empty table. 40 rows added.
Okay. And if we type in, like, VL, we should get to it.
VanRilo.app application. VLC.app application. Row 38 of 40.
There we go. And we'll just do Command-O to open that.
Open. VLC. Window. VLC Media Player. Uncheck, check.
Now, there's a couple of unlabeled checkboxes in here. Hopefully they'll fix that at some point. What they relate to, though, is the equalizer. And if you check one of these, you can kind of figure that out. Let's see.
Toolbar.
And there's a toolbar up here, too.
Intermedia controls button. The help tab is play. Media controls. Stop. Dimmed button. Dimmed button. Dimmed. Uncheck checkbox.
And if we check that.
Check checkbox. 46.9% slider. The help tag is volume.
So that's the volume. They have help tags, and VoiceOver can retrieve that for you.
Uncheck checkbox. Uncheck checkbox. The help tag is playlist.
So that's the playlist.
Uncheck checkbox. Uncheck checkbox. Uncheck checkbox.
See, so some of these aren't labeled.
Window, equalizer.
Enable, oh, there's the equalizer. Uncheck, okay, there we go.
Enable. Uncheck checkbox. To pass, uncheck checkbox. The help tag is, apply the equalizer filter twice. The effect will be sharper. Flat, pop-up button. 80% vertical slider. Plus 20 dB. 50% vertical slider.
Okay, so that you got some equalizer controls there, so that's how that works. Let's do a Command-W and we'll close out of this equalizer window.
Close window. Now in window, VLC Media Player, checkbox.
And we'll go ahead and Command-W out of that window.
Close window.
Settings window there. Okay, so now I'm sitting in VLC Player, but I don't have any windows open.
VLC has no windows.
Let's go ahead and open up an MP3 file, just for fun. We'll go ahead and open up, oh, I don't know, I got a bunch of old radio shows on here. How about we open one of the Shadow episodes? we'll do a Command-O here to open a file.
Open file, open file. File, table, back.
All right, and we'll just navigate through this window. This is a common dialog box, kind of like, you know, the ones you see in Windows. It's the same concept. Basically, it's asking, you know, where to look and what file do you want to open. So I've got a folder called Old Radio that's on my hard drive here, and we'll go ahead and open that.
For list mode, column mode, list mode. Selected column, downloads, searched progress, sidebar, table, no selection.
Okay, the sidebar is where we need to go to because that allows us to select our drive, and then we can select the file in the next table.
Devices, expanded. Mike Rigo's Mac Mini. Macintosh HD.
There we go. Okay, so we got the hard drive selected. Now let's navigate with the VoiceOver keys down to the next table.
Vertical splitter, file, table, no selection.
All right, now we should be able to just arrow down here and get to the old radio folder.
Application, library,
actually, just
Sunday.
Type the letter O.
Old radio, Sunday.
And let's go ahead and hit the right arrow to expand that.
Row 4 expanded, 2 rows added.
And I got some stuff in here for the Shadow and the Whistler. Let's go ahead and do the Shadow one here.
Shadow, Saturday, July 25th.
And let's go ahead and it gives you the date and everything, too, of that modification. Let's go ahead and expand that.
Row 5 expanded, 239 rows added.
There we go. So there's 239 files in here. So we can just zero down through this. Let's go ahead and move down.
001 Death House Rescue.mp3, Saturday, April 27th, 2002, 2 hours, 47 minutes, 58 seconds, PM, CT, row 6 of 247.
Okay, so that's the first Shadow episode, actually. So that's the one we would want. We can just go down here and select the open button.
Open, press open, default button.
I think that's some options here.
Pause.
And we hit, and the cool thing about this is the keys are labeled. This is a really nifty feature of this app. Command P is play and pause, and of course in Windows a lot of times you'll see the key labels will just say like play and pause. It'll you know, it's just a key label that you enter for what the key does, but VoiceOver actually knows what the key is going to do. It doesn't rely on just a key label. It actually knows because it said pause there. So now when I press it again, it will say
play.
It says play.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men?
The Shadow knows, yes. So that's so we can play and pause this. And there's plenty of other options too. You can increase or decrease the volume with command up and command down arrow.
Decrease volume, increase volume.
Like that. So again, the keys are all labeled. Let's see what other keystrokes we've got in here. Actually, the best way to do that is to go to the menu bar. So we'll just do Control F2. That's the Mac keyboard command to do that.
Menu bar, Apple, VL file, edit, playback.
Playback is what we want to probably go into. Let's see what we've got in there.
Playback, menu, 17 items. Play, command P, stop, command period.
Okay, command period is the stop. Yeah, that's a standard Mac command too.
Faster, command equals.
Oh, that's kind of nice. I wonder if we can actually speed this up. I didn't even know that about this player. If we can do that. Oh, wow. I have to try this.
Slower, command dash. Step forward, command option, right arrow.
Command option, right arrow, and command option, left arrow will, you know, take you forward and backward.
Step backward, command option, left arrow, jump to time, command J.
Jump to time, that's a great feature. You can do that. See, iTunes doesn't do all this stuff.
Previous, command, left arrow.
That's if you got a playlist, you can do previous and next.
Next, command, random, command Z.
You can shuffle, command Z.
Repeat one. Repeat or quit after playback. Add folder to playlist, program, submenu dimmed, playback, menu, 17 items,
okay.
Program.
I gotta try this speed up thing. I didn't even know it could do that.
Title, chapter, submenu title, submenu dimmed.
Okay, title and chapter. That's if you're playing a DVD. I think this VLC player will actually play DVDs. I haven't tried that, but I think it works.
Chat play, command P, stop, faster, command equals. Slower, command dash.
Let me see if that actually works on this. Let's see.
Closing
menu. I hit escape to get out of the menu.
VLC has no windows.
Okay, let me see.
Play.
Shadow knows.
It does. All right.
Faster.
The shadow. Slower.
Only thing is, it's very choppy.
Slower.
All signs point to severe winter. Be prepared. If you want to be sure of even, dependable
coverage
in any kind of weather, insist on Blue Coal, America's finest anthracite mine from the fields of northern Pennsylvania. The coal that is colored a harmless blue at the mine for your protection.
Oh, wow.
Stop.
I did not know that, and it just says stop when I did come in period. I did not know that that player could do that. So that's awesome. I may use this whenever I'm listening to some podcasts sometimes to get through them a little bit faster. That's awesome. There. I actually learned something new also, so that's awesome. All right, great little player. Only issue with that is some of those checkboxes aren't labeled for the, you know, the equalizer and that kind of thing, so that may take a little experimentation, and hopefully they'll fix that. But a great app to have around for sure. All right, let's go ahead and command Q out of that.
Finder. Window, applications.
Now I'll go ahead and do Command W. That's the close window command to close the window here. My applications folder.
Close window. Now in desktop. Macintosh
okay.
HD.
The other application that I want to show you is a Bible program. Now, this is also available on the Windows platform and actually on the iPod Touch and iPhone. It's the Logos Some people call it Logos, some people call it Libronix, Bible software. And it is somewhat accessible on Windows. There's no cursor to read through the text. So what you've got to do in the Windows side of things is, at least what I did, is I use Windowize, and I set up page up and page down to read field data, which is basically, you know, read the content of the the field. So to read a part of a book or something like that on Windows, you have to continuously press the page up and page down key to read through it. And I haven't found a way around that. It's completely inaccessible on the iPod Touch and iPhone, unfortunately. When you go to the text area, all VoiceOver will say is button when you touch different parts of the screen. Now, on the Mac side, it's almost perfect, except that the one control that VoiceOver can't read is the most important one. The way it works, and there is a workaround, which I will show you, and I have emailed and talked to their tech support about this issue, and apparently it is going to be fixed in an upcoming release, so they are working on it, so this is temporary. The table of contents and your options, all of that is completely 100% accessible on this. It works, it's great. The one thing that's inaccessible is the text area where it displays the actual content. How ironic is that? But there is a workaround that I found that works pretty well, and in some ways better than Windows, because for each section of a book, you can read the whole thing nonstop. By the way, Logos and Libronix, again, if whichever name you prefer, I think it's called Libronix now more than anything. But they have a bunch of different things. You can go to logos.com, logos.com. They have Bibles. They have tons of different books, Bible studies. And I've got a few different things on here. And the cool thing is, if you buy more things, you just add them to your, you purchase the license, and then you may have to type in the license key, and then it just adds those books. What I've got on here is Luther's Works, which is 52 volumes of Martin Luther's writings. And then I've got the People's Bible, which what that is, it's every book of the Bible, complete with, it basically does a section at a time, and then it provides a commentary and on each section. And the company that makes that, they actually make every volume of that in a book, but then you'd have to scan it and do it that way. So this is by far a lot better. It's really cool. I'll show you how you can still access it thanks to a built-in feature that the Macintosh has. If it didn't have this, it would probably be totally unusable. Let's go ahead and open it. It's I think it's actually called Logos Bible Software on this. Let's go down to the dock.
VDock. VMware Fusion 12 of 25.
Okay, and let's press the letter L.
Libronix DLS 17 of 25.
Libronix DLS. Okay, so that's what we want. Press Enter.
Finder. Desktop. Macintosh HD. Volume. Libronix DLS busy. Libronix DLS ready. Libronix DLS. Window. Logos Bible Software. HTML content has keyboard focus.
Okay, now it kind of brings up a little news item, and it's HTML content, and it's, again, this part is fully readable. We'll go ahead and just read part of this.
Text. HTML content. Interact with HTML content. Logo.png. Put lists one item. Link. Latest news. End of lip. Heading level 1. Logos news. Heading level 1 link. R.C. Sproul Exposition Collection. 3 volumes. The R.C. Sproul Exposition Collection presents 3 exegetical works combining scholarly analysis of the biblical text and intense devotional insight and power as only R.C. Sproul can do.
The R.C. Sproul, that is.
Link. Hide this item. Heading level 1 link. Nelson Commentary Collection Church History and Paul's Epistles, 25 volumes. Map. No matter where you are on the educational spectrum, this collection of Nelson commentaries has something special to offer anyone interested in Pauline writings. Moreover, the volumes complement each other greatly, providing a firm foundation and understanding, as well as elucidating analysis into more controversial and complex passages.
All right.
Heading level 1 link. Hebrew Bible Reference Collection, 4 volumes.
Okay, so that's the news. So we can go ahead and close that window with the Command W.
Close.
Okay, now we're sitting just in the application, but there's no windows. So what we need to do to open up one of the books that I've got on here is we go to My Library, which is Command L. It's got Control L on Windows, but on the Mac it's Command L. So we'll go ahead and press that.
My Library. Now in Window, My Library. Filter, search.
Okay, so this we're kind of in an open dialog box here, and again, this part is completely accessible. Which book should we open? Let's see. How about the Gospel of John from the People's Bible series? That's the one. Again, it's got the Bible book, and it's also got the commentary. So we'll go ahead and do that. We'll just go ahead and navigate through this window here. Go to the top.
Collection. All unlocked resources, pop-up button.
You can choose to do all unlocked resources or all resources that you may have on your hard drive. I've got it set for all unlocked.
Arrange by title, pop-up button.
Arrange by title, you can choose how it sorts.
Filter, search text field. Table, one row selected. Column, 1 of 1. The People's Bible, Genesis, Jesse, John C.
Okay, so that's the People's Bible, the Genesis, that's the first one. So, we'll go ahead and arrow down. We have go down quite a bit, actually, to get down to the John one. So we'll go ahead and do that.
The People's Bible, Ezra, Nehemiah, the People's Bible, Proverbs, the People's Bible, Ezekiel, Cushel, the People's Bible, Obadiah, the People's Bible, Mark, Wick, the People's Bible, John, Baumler, Gary P.
And there we are. So that's it. We can see what else is in this window.
Help button. Keep open. Uncheck checkbox.
And you can keep the library open if you want to do that. I've got that unchecked.
Progress indicator. Open resource. Default button.
Open resource is what we want. We'll go ahead and select it.
Press open now in window. The People's Bible. John. Toolbar.
All right. So we've got a toolbar here with a couple of options, and I'll show you what they are.
Interact with toolbar. 6 items, passage, combo box, go button, reference locations button, active index button, set reference target button, more toolbar items, pop-up button, more toolbar stop
okay,
interacting
so
with
that.
Toolbar.
Now, if we go over here,
vertical
to
scroll
the next
bar.
Item, you got the scroll bar, and then you've got
text.
It just says text. That's what I was talking about. That's where the content is actually displayed. But if you try to read it, even if you try to interact with that,
interact with text, blank.
It's blank. VoiceOver does not see the text at all. And even, I was surprised, because I was hoping I could do like a select all, you know, Command A to select all and copy it out. But even that doesn't work with that control. So I got a feeling that they are using, why they would choose to use that, I have no idea. It boggles my mind, but some kind of very non-standard text control for that, to display the text, because even in the edit menu, there's no options to select all or anything like that. If we look at the edit menu.
Menu bar, Libre file, edit, edit menu, 8 items, undo, dim commit, redo, dim cut, dim commit copy, dim command C paste, dim command V, delete, dimmed, select all, dim command A.
See, it's dimmed. They have it, but it doesn't. There's no way that I've found to select all unless. Now, I wonder if I could somehow get the mouse down there to somehow click into that text area and then see if I could somehow gain access to that so I could do the select all. Let me just try that here.
Closing menu.
Okay. Let's see. If I do a...
blank. Is in the voiceover
Let's
cursor.
See, it says blank. Okay.
You are currently in a text element.
Okay. So if I do a Control Option F5 to put the mouse down there, or Control Option Command F5, it would be
text.
There we go. Now let's see what
text is under the mouse.
Now if I click on this, if I tell VoiceOver to do a mouse click, okay. Now I wonder.
Menu. 7 items. Previous. Submenu.
This is interesting.
Next. Submenu. Back. Submenu. Forward. Submenu.
I think I'm on
dim.
The view menu, actually.
Back.
Let me see.
Next. Submenu. Next. You. Four items. Check mark. Article. Bible book. Bible chapter. Resource.
Interesting. Okay.
Closing menu. Closing menu. Text.
Okay.
Text.
So, that's,
Set link. More toolbar items. Pop-up button. Has keyboard focus.
My keyboard focus is still up on that toolbar. Because it doesn't know how to move the keyboard focus to that blank area. Okay.
Stop interacting with text.
So I wonder now if I could somehow do the select all since I've clicked on that. Let me just do another mouse click.
Text.
On that. Okay. Now let's see if I go to the edit menu.
Menu bar, Apple, file, edit, edit, menu. Recut, cop, paste, delete, select all, dim, command A.
No, see, it just won't.
Closing menu.
It's a very non-standard text area because not only can VoiceOver not see it, but you can't do a select all there on it either. That's really odd. But there is a workaround, and here's what it is. What you can do is bring up the contents pane, and what this does is it lists all of the sections of the book that you've opened. And to do that, we're going to do a Command-Shift-C. So I'll go ahead and press that now.
Contents pane.
Okay. Now what we've got is a table here listing each item, and some of them you can expand. And as you select each one of these, that's what text appears in that text area that VoiceOver can't read. And once we have that, let's go to that table here.
Toolbar, column, one, table, no selection.
Okay. Now then, if we just arrow down here.
Interact with column 1 of 1.
The
table.
Regular keyboard navigation doesn't work there either with the regular arrow keys. So what you do is you interact with the table, and then you use the VoiceOver up and down keys, and that in turn selects it. So even where regular keyboard keys don't work on the Mac, VoiceOver is able to handle it without a problem. So let's go ahead and narrow down here.
Contents. Editor's Preface. Introduction to John. Collapsed Level 0.
So that's what something we could expand if we wanted to. Let's keep going, though.
Part 1. Keynote. The word reveals God. 1-1. 14. Collapsed Level 0.
Okay, so that's a collapsed thing, too. Let's go ahead and expand that. It's like a tree view, kind of, in Windows. You can kind of think of it that way. It's, you know, collapsed, and then we can expand it. We do a Control-Option backslash.
Expand. Part 1. Keynote. The word reveals dot 1-1, 14, four items enclosed.
Normally you can, on the Mac, you can press the right arrow a lot of times and it will expand stuff, but again, for some reason this table does not respond to keyboard commands, but VoiceOver is more than able to handle that. Okay, let's arrow down.
The word is God, level 1.
Okay, the word is God, level 1. Now let's make sure that's selected, because this program is a little quirky at times, but I found, though, that the information you can get and the books and resources are well worth the quirks. it's very spiritually enriching to read some of this. So to do that, we press Control-Option-Command-F4. And that should deselect this item, and then we'll press it again to make sure it's selected. So I'm going to press that here.
The word is God, level 1, focusing keyboard on column 1 of 1.
I'm sorry, we do a Control-Option-Command-Spacebar. That's what it is for that selection. So we do that.
The word is God, level 1.
Okay, now let's see if anything's selected with Control-Option-F6.
No selection.
Okay, now we'll do Control-Option-Command-Space again.
The word is God, level 1.
And now it should tell us that that is selected.
One row selected, column 1 of 1. The word is God.
All right. Now, that text is being displayed in that text area that VoiceOver can't read. But what we can do here is we can use the print command, and the Mac has the built-in ability to create a PDF file of what's printed. And by that, we can read the text. So to do that, we're going to do a command P here to bring up the print dialog box.
LibreOnic, interact with print dialog printer, presets, copies, pages, 2.
Okay. I'll go ahead and stop that speech. I don't actually have a physical printer installed on this, but we don't need one for this. Let's go down to the bottom of the window.
Print, Dim default button.
Printed. It's dimmed because we there's nothing to... There's no printer. But let's move to the left here.
Cancel button. PDF menu button.
PDF, and there's a menu. So let's go ahead and select that.
Prep menu. 9 items.
And we have 9 items here. Let's see what we've got.
Open PDF on preview. Save as PDF ellipsis. Save as PostScript ellipsis. Fax PDF ellipsis. Mail PDF. Save as PDF X. Save PDF to iPhoto. Save PDF to web receipts folder. Edit menu ellipsis.
Edit menu, I wonder what that is. Let's see what that is.
Edit menu, now in window, PDF workflow items, printing workflows, table, one row selected, printing workflows, mail PDF, printing workflows, table, one row selected, printing workflows, mail PDF, button, button, cancel, okay, default button.
I'm not sure exactly what that does, I'll have to check that out a little bit more, but anyway.
Printer. Presets.
What we want to do here is do save as PDF.
Print PDF menu. Open save as PDF ellipsis. Save as PDF. Save. Save as title, author, subject.
Okay, and it calls it window by default, just window.pdf, and you know you can change it, and it saves it. Let's see where it's going to save it to.
Save as window.pdf highlighted.
Yeah, it just calls it window.pdf. You can change the file name if you want to.
Disclosure. Checkbox. Back forward.
And it saves it in documents by default, which is fine. You could change the file name, but no need to do that in this case. So I'm just going to go ahead and click on save.
Save. Depress. Save. Toolbar. Closing dialog.
And there we are. Now we should, in theory, have a PDF file that we can read here of that section. Let's go find out. Let's command tab back to the Finder.
Finder.
And let's open the home folder with command shift H.
Home. Now in window, Microego. List view, table.
Open your home folder and let's type DO.
Documents, collapsed.
Let's open that.
Open in this window, list view, window.pdf.
There it is. Let's open it up and it should open up in preview.
Open. Preview, window.pdf, page 1 of 2. The word is God, John 1.
And there we are. Now we can just interact with the scroll area.
Interact with text, word.
And we do Control Option A, that's the voiceover say all command.
The word is God, John 1, 1, 3. 1 In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. 2 He was with God in the beginning. 3 Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. The words fairly leap off the page to arrest your attention. In the beginning, the Word, God, life, light. As you begin to read this book of God's scriptures, you feel you have entered a new level of God's truth in Jesus Christ. John sounds a keynote to his gospel unlike any of the other gospels. He trumpets the Christ and the glory of God in him. He switches on the floodlights and opens the drama of God's work of salvation. The drama starts, in the beginning, before anything existed. We are reminded of the opening words of Genesis, which speak of the same period when only God existed and all creation was but a page in his eternal plan.
And now it'll continue to read, it would continue to read that whole section. So, that's how you can get around the inaccessibility of this at the moment. Select the section of the book, and then just do Command-P, and save it to a PDF, and you can read it. And it's worth the extra couple of steps to, for each section, you know, for the, there's tons of different, books, that you can get for this, library system, and hopefully very soon they will have a fix for that, inaccessibility of that text area, and that'll make this even better then. They were really receptive. I don't think they even had tested this with VoiceOver. Sometimes developers just don't realize, that there is a problem, and that's you know I can accept that. It's when developers are not willing to make it accessible, like Adobe with Flash on the Mac, for instance. They know about it, and they're just not willing to do it. They've flat out said we don't think there's enough people that use the Mac to be worth our time to do it. That I have a very serious problem with. But if a developer doesn't know, I can. You know, I can understand that, and you know, the best thing we can do is, you know, when there is a problem, is inform them of that, because usually, you know, they are more than willing to make the fixes, when there is an issue, and certainly these folks said they are definitely willing to do it, and so hopefully that's something they are working on. So I'm going to go ahead and quit out a preview here with the Command Q.
Finder. Window.
And we'll go ahead and delete this PDF file, too. Go ahead and put that in the trash.
Window.pdf. Move to trash.
We'll go ahead and empty the trash, sure.
Empty trash.
Okay. All right. There is one more thing I wanted to show you in this podcast. I think I covered everything else I wanted to. Let me think. The Mac maintenance, the carbon copy cloner, the VLC player, the Bible program. Yeah. There is one more thing I do want to show you, and that is with a Nokia Symbian phone, how to tether it to your Mac and use it as a modem. That can definitely come in handy. Let me go ahead and command W out of this window to close my documents window that I was in with the PDF.
Close window. Now in desktop.
And
LibreNext DLS.
We'll also go ahead and quit out of LibreNext DLS program too.
Close. Finder. Desktop.
Okay.
Macintosh.
I'm going to go ahead and pause this because I need to go grab my USB cable for my cell phone that I'm using at the moment. So I need to go grab that, and I will be right back. All right, we are back on the recording here. I've got the USB cable, and the Nokia phone I'm using at the moment is the 5730 Express Music. It's a side slider, actually. It's got a numeric keypad on the front of it with the D-pad, and then you can slide it off to the side, and it has a QWERTY keyboard, which admittedly I don't use much. I prefer to type on the numeric keypad with these. The QWERTY keyboard, my fingers are too big for the keys in most cases. But this should work with any of the Symbian phones. Now, the Symbian phones, of course, only work on the GSM carriers, so in the U.S. it's going to be T-Mobile or AT&T. In Europe, of course, there's everything is GSM. They don't even use a CDMA. And I much prefer GSM because your phone number then is stored on the SIM card and you can go between different phones. And I've got actually several Symbian phones that I use. But this is the one I'm using at the moment. As far as tethering, what this allows you to do is actually use your cell phone as a modem and use your cell provider's data network then. You might do that if you're, you know, staying someplace where there is not, you know, internet access and you need to get online. And so it's a good thing to be able to do. I think in Windows you actually have to use the Nokia PC suite, so you do have to install, you know, another program. But the Mac is actually able to do this without a problem. So everything's built in. Now some carriers do charge you extra for tethering. I have heard that doing it this way, you know, it's to the carrier, it's just as if you were accessing the web, you know, through your phone because you're accessing it through an access point. That to them it doesn't look any different whether you're, you know, tethering it or if you're using it on your phone itself. I don't know if that's true, so don't quote me on that. But some of the carriers do want to charge you extra for tethering, which I personally do not agree with. If you are paying for an unlimited data plan, then it should be unlimited data. Whether you actually view it on the phone or it goes through a cable or Bluetooth to your computer, data is data. And I have a serious issue with providers wanting to charge that. Charge extra. I'm with T-Mobile, and T-Mobile does not. They don't charge extra. I've got the unlimited data plan, and it's what it is, unlimited data, whether you tether it to your computer or just use it on the phone, and that's the way it should be. I know Verizon is known for that, notorious for having you, you know, tether, but of course the Symbian phones won't work on that anyway. But anyway, so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go ahead and connect this USB cable to this phone. Let's see, where's the USB port on this one? I believe it's on the side. Let's see. I think I have to open this little... I haven't connected this in a while. Okay, that's the memory card. Okay. I actually don't want to do that. So I am going to not do that, and I'm going to go ahead and push that back in there, and it's the other door. Okay, so it's this one where the USB cable goes. Okay, so go ahead and I'm going to go ahead and plug this in, and there we go. Okay, it's in the phone. Now, what happens here with these Nokia phones, if you can turn this off, but it asks you when you plug it in, how do you want to connect it? Do you want to connect it in PC mode, or PC suite mode, which is what you would want in this case. That's what you have to do to access the modem functions. Mass storage, which connects as a removable drive for the memory card, and you can do like for a camera too to transfer photos. Now, what it may do is it may show up as a PC suite device, and then when I actually select that option, it may disconnect itself and reconnect itself again temporarily. So you may end up with two devices showing up on the Mac, and if that's the case, it's no big deal. You just remove one of them out of the list, just delete it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to plug this USB cable into one of my USB ports, like that.
User Notification Center, System Dialog, Alert, New Network Interfaces have been detected.
Okay, so it says new interfaces have been detected, and it's also charging this way, too. A lot of these Symbian phones, you can, some of the newer ones, they will charge through the USB port if you do that. Now, you can do this tethering through either Bluetooth or USB. I've done it both ways, they both work, but by far, use USB if you can. Because it's faster, and it's less steps also. I mean, if you forgot your USB cable and that type of thing, you can do it through Bluetooth, and if any of you want me to cover that in a podcast, how to do that, I will do it. Just let me know. But use a USB if you can, certainly, because with one of these newer ones like this one, too, you get the advantage of charging it, whereas Bluetooth will eat your battery quicker. So what it's asking here, the phone actually, is asking me what mode do I want to connect in. Now we've got PC Suite, Mass Storage, Image Transfer, Media Transfer, Connect PC to Web. Now that's interesting. I haven't seen that one before. I wonder how that would work. I'm going to go with the PC Suite on this one because I know it works. on the Mac for using a modem. So I'm going to have to check out that connect PC to web. That's interesting. Okay, so I'm going to do PC suite and tell it OK with the left soft key.
Okay, USB connected to PC suite mode.
Okay, now I do have a dialog box on my Macintosh too, basically saying you've got a new network device and it's not configured. Do you want to configure it? Let's go ahead and read that window.
New network interfaces have been detected.
Actually, before I go any further, let me pull out my Ethernet cable. So there's no chance of it using that for the internet here. So I'm going to do that. Take that out of the Mac on the back. Okay, there we go. All right, let's go ahead and read this window.
New network interfaces have been detected. The following network interfaces have not been set up. Nokia 5730 Express Music. Nokia 5730 Express Music. To set up these interfaces, use network preferences.
Okay.
Cancel button. Network preferences. Default button, network
and
preferences.
That's where we want to go, so we'll go ahead and do that.
Press, Finder, Desktop, Macintosh HD, Volume, System Preferences,
Right. Yeah, it opens up System Preferences, which is kind of similar to the control panel in Windows. Same type of function. And it brought us right into this network applet. So let's see what network devices we have in here.
Services, table, one row selected. Column, 1 of 1, Nokia 5730, Express Music, not configured.
See, it did do a second one because it connected that way at first, and then when I actually selected that option to do PC suite mode, it added a second occurrence of that. So I'm just going to go ahead and delete that out of here.
Nokia 5730, Express Music 2, not configured.
Yeah, and we're going to delete that one.
Add service, delete service button. The help tag is...
There we go. Okay.
Add
so now we should
button.
Just have...
Services, table,
let's see
one...
What we've got here.
Ethernet, Nokia 5000...
Ethernet...
Ethernet, not connected. Airport, off.
And that's the Wi-Fi. Okay. So we want to go to this one.
Ethernet, Nokia 5730, Express Music, not configured.
Okay. And let's see if we can do something about that to configure it. Let's go ahead and just read this window with the voiceover keys.
Status, not configured. Status, text... Configuration, default configuration, pop-up button, telephone number, the telephone number, edit text, telephone number, the help tag is, you can change the way the number is dialed by using special characters, such as a comma, to insert
okay.
A pause.
See, we actually want to leave the phone number blank in this case.
Telephone number, Edit text. Account name. Account name. Edit text.
And you can enter an account name there if you want to. You don't have to, though.
Password.
And there's the password field. I mean, it's treating it like a regular dial-up at this point. You can leave those blank, at least for T-Mobile. You can, and I think for AT&T you can too, actually.
Password. Connect button. Progress indicate. Add service button. Delete service. Service actions. Menu button. Show modem status in menu bar. Check box.
That's a good thing to have. It shows it in the status menus, your modem status.
Advanced button.
Advanced is actually where we need to go in this case. So I'm going to go ahead and select that.
Nokia 5730 X modem logo image. Nokia 5730 Express music. Modem. Selected tab 1 of 5.
And we're already in the tab we want to be, but I'll show you these other tabs. Modem is already selected.
DNS tab 2 of 5. Wins tab 3. Proxies tab PPP tab 5 of 5.
So that's all your tabs, but the modem tab is where we have to do our thing at here.
Vendor.
Okay, vendor.
Generic. Vendor. Okay. Pop-up button.
That's what we need to change here. It's set to generic. Go ahead and let's open that pop-up menu.
Menu. 25
and
items.
And let's get down and select Nokia.
Global Haze. IoT Motor Multitech Nokia.
That's what we want. Press enter.
Nokia checked.
Okay. And let's go to the next item here.
Model. Dial-up model. Pop-up button.
Dial-up. Okay, we want to change that also.
Menu. Three items. Generic dial-up. GPRS. GSM 3G.
GPRS GSM 3G, that's what we want. Go ahead and hit enter on that.
GPRS GSM 3.
And that way it accesses it through the network just as, you know, through the access point rather than using a dial-up. So again, to the carrier, from what I've heard, it, you know, they really can't tell whether you're doing it through the computer or, you know, using your phone. But again, I don't know for sure if that's true, so I can't promise you won't be charged extra if you do it this way, but in theory, that's how it should be, but I can't say with 100% certainty on that. All right, let's go down here.
APN. APN. Edit text.
APN. That's the access point name. That is also what you have on your phone for your access point. For T-Mobile, it's internet2.voicestream.com. For AT&T, it's WAP, W-A-P dot singular is what it is. So I'm just going to type that in here, internet2.voicestream.com.
INTERNET 2, period, VOICEFTREAM, period, SUM. Internet2.voicestream.com.
There we go. Okay. And that's the access point that it will try to connect to. All right. Let's see if there's anything else in here we need to do.
SID.
SID.
1. Combo box content selected.
We don't have to do anything with that. We can leave that go.
Help button. Cancel. Okay button.
And go ahead and tell it okay.
Press OK. Advanced button.
And that takes us out of the advanced dialog.
Help, but click a lock to prevent further.
And we've got everything set. We can go ahead and Command Q out of System Preferences.
Quit System Preferences. Interact with Alert Dialog. Would you like to apply your changes before?
Oh yeah, I do want to apply these actually. I forgot to do that. You do have to apply it. So yes.
Cancel. Apply. Default button.
I'll tell it to apply that.
Desktop.
And we are back on the desktop. All right. Now I've got the modem status shown in my set to show in my menu bar. So to go to the status menus, the built-in Mac command for that is Control F8. So I'm going to hit that.
Modem. PPP menu extra.
And let's go ahead and narrow down.
PPP menu extra. Modem menu. 5. Connect Nokia 5730 Express Music.
That's what we want. Press enter here.
Finder. Desktop. Macintosh HD volume.
And it should do it. And if we look using a talks on the screen, or the status menu, we should find that the GPRS is connected. T-Mobile, unfortunately, doesn't have 3G, at least not on the standard bands, so it is a bit slow, but it does work. Let's see if we are connected here. Yes. So it says USB connection, and then it says EGPRS connected. So we are connected and ready to go. Let's go ahead and open up Safari, the web browser. We'll do a Control F3 to go to the dock.
Mac dock. LibreNXT. Safari.
Press enter.
Finder. Desktop. Safari. Window. Untitled. Empty HTML content. Has keyboard focus.
All right. I don't know how long the blind cool tech page would take to load. That's a kind of a large page through this, but what the heck, we'll go ahead and do it. Or we could do Google. Well, let's go ahead and do Google, and then maybe we'll do Blind Cool Tech just for fun.
Opening
Command
location.
L here, and we'll do
Google.com,
press enter.
HTML content.
And let's see if we can navigate this.
HTML interact, empty HTML content.
Yeah, it's still working on it. And it's a little faster than dial-up, but without the 3G, it's no broadband. But, you know, if you're somewhere there where you don't have any broadband, you know, it certainly is better than nothing.
Scroll area.
Okay, I think, do we have it here? Let's see.
Web. Link.
There
images,
we go.
Web. Link.
All right,
images.
So we've got it. We should be able to get to the search box, I think.
Google search button.
There we go.
Google search. Edit text.
Okay.
The help tab is Google
search.
So
we could do a search here now and surf the web. Let's go ahead and load up Blind Cool Tech. That's a bit larger of a site, and we'll see how long it takes to load that one.
Open location.
BlindCoolTech.com.
The help tab is
press enter.
HTML content.
All right. And there we go. And you can just press your voiceover, you know, right key every once in a while. But it's doing this off of the cell network. Let's see what we got here.
Link. Subscribe.
There we go. It's still loading, I think, though, because it's kind of not too responsive.
Stop interactive link. Frequently asked link. Submission link.
Okay,
contact.
I think we got it. Let's see if we can go to the first heading.
Link. Logo.jpg image.
No, it's still okay. It's still loading.
Link.
See, with unlike on Windows, on the Mac, you don't have to wait for the page to fully load before you can read it. It doesn't have to wait, you know, before it buffers it. Or actually, well, VoiceOver doesn't really buffer it like the window screeners do, but
logo.jpg image link art link home logo dot stop inter link link so logo.jpg image.
It looks like it's still loading. That's a big page. I figured it would take a while for that one. Looks like it's still loading up.
Stop interacting with HTML
stop
content.
Stop interacting and make sure that we're not...
Safari, link, archive, Safari, ready, busy, logo.jpg, image, Safari.
Yeah, see, it's
Google
just...
underline, ads, underline, heading, level...
There
two.
We go, now we got it.
Safari.
I think, anyway.
Link. Introduction
11.6.2000. There we go.
Pilot heading level 2. Google underline heading level 2 link. iPod Touch.
There we go. And iPod Touch is the first one that's on here. That's the one I did the other day on the iPod Touch, which, by the way, the second one is on its way. Or it may already be up there by the time you hear this podcast, the second one on the iPod Touch. So there we are. The page is loaded, and we could go ahead and read this whole page. So that one took a little bit longer, as I expected it would. How is the transfer rate on this anyway? You know what? Let's try downloading something, at least part of a file. Let's see how the transfer rate is doing it through this. I'll just go ahead and tell this to download.
Link. Introduction to Railroad Record. Link. iPod Touch.
I'll just go ahead and tell it to download this. If you're sitting on a link, at least with your keyboard focus, you can do Option Enter, and it will download the file. I got a feeling this transfer rate's not going to be too good, but let's just see for curiosity's sake.
Now in window, downloads, list.
Yeah, let's interact with that list and see what we've got.
Interact, preparing to download.
Oh boy. Yeah, this would take a long time if,
BCT1, preparing to download.
Certainly if this was 3G, it'd be a lot faster.
Interact with preparing to download. BCT, prepare file icon, but preparing to download.
Well, yeah, I wonder if it's going to download the file at all. We'll see here.
BCT preparing to download.
Yeah, looks like it's having a little trouble with that. That's all right.
File icon, fit, BCT14, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20,
open the VoiceOver utility.
55.3 kilobytes of 21.1 megabyte, zero. VoiceOver utility.
And let's have it, rather than having it continuously read that status stuff, let's just set it so it just clicks as it changes, and that way it won't stutter like that.
Robust
let's see if
speech.
We can get an idea of how fast it's...
Navigation.
How fast
speech,
it's actually
voices,
downloading.
Selected app, pronunciation, voices. Select utility, verbosity, general, subtext tab, to announcements tab. Select
it's on this tab, let's see.
Announce when mouse cursor, announce when the caps lock, speak header, when navigates, automatically speak text in dialog boxes. Check speak text, when status text changes under voiceover cursor. Pop
let's
up
change
menu,
that.
Three items, do nothing, play tone.
Play tone, let's do that.
Closing menu, play tone, when status text. Speak update, when progress indicator changes under voiceover cursor. Pop-up button.
Not like that as it is, but let's
Safari,
see if that makes a difference
window,
now.
BCT 394 kilobytes of 21.1 megabyte, 2.8 kilobytes a second.
Oh boy, 2.8 kilobytes a second. Yeah, that's definitely nothing to write home about.
BCT,
I agree.
453 kilobytes of...
Okay, let's go ahead and cancel this. So it would not be good for long file downloads, at least this wouldn't. If you had 3G, it's probably a lot faster. I'm sure it is. But, you know... It does work, though.
File up. Stop button.
Let's go ahead and stop.
Press
that.
Stop button.
And let's go ahead and clear this out of there.
Show in Finder. Show in file icon. 450 BCT 14. Stop file icon. File icon. Stop downloads. List clear button. Press clear button. And downloads.
Okay, and I'm going to delete the file that started to download out of my downloads folder.
Close window. Now in window. Blind.
Quit out of Safari here.
Finder. Desktop. Finder. Home. Now in window, Microego, list, downloads, collapse, open, list, view, tip, MIUSA10, BCT1407, iPod touch, move
ahead,
the trash.
That. Okay, there we go.
Close window.
Empty the trash.
Now in desktop, Macintosh HD,
okay.
Volume.
Now to disconnect that when you're done, I guess you could just unplug it too, but you can go to the Control F8 again, to the modem menu.
Modem, PPPP, disconnect, Nokia 5000.
Disconnect, and we press enter there.
Finder, desktop. Macintosh HD volume.
And there we are. And now it should show that that's no longer connected using Tox. Let's get the status here. Let's see. Yep, and it's no longer connected. That's another thing that slowing things down to. I've only got like 2 bars at the moment here in the apartment. If you had 7-bar coverage, it would be a little bit faster. But, you know... It does work, though, certainly. I'm going to go ahead and unplug the USB cable from this. Okay, there we go. But anyway, it does work, though, and it is doable. And if you have 3G coverage where you're at with a Nokia Symbian phone, certainly that will go quite a bit faster. That was a just regular Edge with only 2 bars of... network coverage. Anyway, I think that covers everything I wanted to on this show. As always, feedback. Love to hear from everyone. Tell me what you think. Any questions you have. Always great to hear from everybody. And I've gotten so many emails from everybody, from people saying, you know, thanks to your podcast, I've gotten a Mac. Or thanks to your podcast, you know, they really helped me to learn how to... how to use the Mac and that type of thing, and that's awesome. That makes it all worth it, because you know it's important to know that we have choices. We don't have to settle for just one thing that you know is recommended to us. It's good to do the research and use what's best for us. And I'll tell you, the more I use the Mac and the iPod Touch now too, which I have, the more I'm really enjoying them. I still use Windows, of course, for some things for work and for some things, you know, for home use. But the Mac, by far, is my primary computer, and it will continue to be, without a doubt. So, if you'd like to email me, feel free. My email address is N0OXY, it's letter N, and the number 0, and then the letters OXY, that's also my ham radio call, at charter, C-H-A-R-T-E-R, .net. And as always, we would love to hear from everybody with any questions or comments. Everyone take care, and if we don't talk again in 2009, which hopefully we will, but if we don't, have a safe and happy holiday season from me to you, for sure.